I read the script and I thought it was, I was also moved when I read it. And, but it also made me laugh. For me, there's two things that I really value in a film, whether I'm in it or not. And that is that, it's surprising. And when I read the script, I didn't know in the first four pages where it was going, which is usually what happens. There were a lot of twists and turns, and I love movies that are really funny and entertaining, and then all of a sudden you find yourself moved unexpectedly, and that's what happened when I read it, and they're the hardest kind of stories to tell, I think. And I'm also always interested in love stories and people, you know, being brave enough to make contact with another human being, and I think we all, even if we don't lose a spouse or break up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, we all can find ourselves, if we're lucky enough to live long enough, transitioning from, you know, one kind of job to another, from your kids leaving the nest where you suddenly don't have anywhere to put all that love and attention. You have to kind of figure out what to do. And, you know, the character's in that kind of a transition where she's been in a great relationship and then that relationship ends and she's got all this habit of loving and a lot of kindness and goodness and doesn't know where to put it and is consistently inappropriate and without boundaries, and that makes it really funny. And I just thought, this is great. You know, if we all erred on the side of being too generous, the world would be a better place. But in the meantime, you know, sometimes it's hard on your immediate family. And so I don't know. I just thought it would be, even though it was a very quick shoot and, you know, we had no money, that it was something that I wanted to be part of.
I was going to ask, Susan, you have been outspoken, I suppose, in a way of, you know, how tough it is to find a good role. I mean, tell us how you feel about, you know, we're aware of these, you know, the pay gap in inequities and all these lack of opportunities in Hollywood. You know, what is your position on that?
Well, I don't think there's a lot of parts that men are doing that I would want to do. I don't think it's about quantity as much as quality, and I think there's more and more women, certainly so many more funny women that are starting their own projects and writing scripts that are viable, and not only viable, but make a profit. It's a male-dominated industry, and most of the stories are imagined with male leads, and I think it's easy to fix that if we make it a priority and just go through the characters and say, ah, a doctor, well, that could be a woman, or how about this, that could also be a black woman, or, you know, I mean, it's just a question of having those conversations and trying to be more aware. In terms of pay, it's not like other businesses where you can say, well, these two people are doing the same job, let's give them the same amount of pay, so, because it's completely subjective. I mean, why are there actors that have been in the business for a long time and doing incredible work, and they're still making no money? You know, in another job, if you had people that had been with a firm for a long period of time and they've been doing good work, they would be retired with a bonus, and you've got character actors that can barely eke out a living. So, I mean, there's all kinds of unfairness, but it's never been a just business. It's not about that at all. So I'm not surprised, and I think it's great that people are talking about it, but also, you know, there are people that are starving to death in other countries and, you know, could live on what somebody makes in a week on a movie. So that's not fair either. So
I'm with you on that one.
Much about it.
Absolutely.
You have to, you know, address these things and have these conversations. And I think it's good to have those conversations. And I think that we benefit from telling a lot of diverse stories and just making telling stories that reflect more of the way things actually are. It's not, you know, every movie, every story that you tell isn't about a white, heterosexual male of a certain age.
Absolutely. Susan, as you are, I'm sure, aware, Australians do take a great interest in US politics. So I do have to ask, I'm so sorry, but I do have to ask, I mean, how worried should the world be and perhaps the US be about Donald Trump?
Well, honestly, I think I don't know what Donald Trump stands for, really. I don't know who his cabinet would be. But he doesn't worry me as much as she does, because whatever he talks about is completely impossible to do. I mean, you're not going to build a wall between the United States and Mexico, and Mexico is not going to pay for it. He's not going to get rid of every Muslim in the United States. I mean, those are just ridiculous. I think what's horrible about him is that he has normalized hatred and racism and run on that platform. What does worry me is that Hillary Clinton has been selling fracking all over the world. She's an interventionist. She's a hawk. She's pals with Wall Street. Incremental change means no change at all, and people are falling through the cracks. So those people, the middle disappearing middle class that doesn't have health insurance, can't pay for an education, is working two jobs and has nothing to show for it, those people's lives are not going to be any worse under Trump. So in a way, I want to know what she's going to do to offset all these policies and all the people that she's in bed with, whether it's Monsanto or Big Farm or all of the Wall Street, everyone's donated to her campaign. I want to know how that's going to filter down. I don't want to be at war with Iran within 6 months of her getting in office.
So it sounds like you're a little bit—it sounds like you're a little bit more worried about Clinton than Trump.
Well, I know what her policies are, and I think they're very dangerous. And I don't think Trump's going to win. If Bernie Sanders is the nominee, what's interesting and what's scary, for instance, there was just Bernie Sanders is ahead of Trump in Georgia, which is amazing that he would be ahead in that state. And the CNN headline is that Trump is ahead of Hillary Clinton by only 4 points, not that Bernie Sanders is ahead of Trump.
Yeah, the skew, so it's a bit of a skew in the media.
There's a skew in the media. The DNC has been horrible. What's going on in New York, for instance, 170,000 people were just purged from the voting. There's so many lawsuits that are pending in so many states because of the way that the primaries have come down. That's what people should be talking about, is what's going on with the way that we vote. That needs to be fixed. And fracking, for instance, Hillary Clinton has been selling fracking all over the world. I believe personally that climate change is much more threatening to our way of life than ISIS. And, you know, she is for fracking and big oil, and he is saying this has to stop. So for me, that is a very, very pressing issue. And for so many millions of people that he has brought into the Democratic Party who are environmentalists, if he doesn't get the nomination, they're not going to vote for Trump, but they're not going to vote for her. So what happens to that? You know, that's going to be a very, very telling thing.
Now, absolutely.
She's a Republican, and I think probably some Republicans will vote for her, so maybe it will even out. But I think it's a fabulous time to have these open discussions and to be pulling away the curtain at what actually has happened in terms of the way this country votes. I mean, in Australia, you have a great system where people have to vote.
Absolutely.
You can't have this kind of money involved in politics where the campaign doesn't go on forever. And you could actually have someone running for office that isn't a billionaire or married to the next president.
Susan, I'm going to try to squeeze in a couple more questions because I know I'm going to run out of time. But I also, it would be remiss of me not to mention on behalf of everybody that was so moved and so touched by Thelma and Louise, 25 years on, why is this movie so important?
I don't know why it's important, but I think it's certainly, we had no way of knowing that there would be such a backlash. And I guess the backlash showed that there was a need for that kind of a movie. And I think, you know, you are what you settle for, which is the message of the film to both men and women, is a very important statement. I think that it was really a Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid that, because it starred two women, ended up being, you know, something that became very, very important. But we honestly didn't see it coming. I was so happy to be working with Ridley and with Gina. And I think just giving women those options scared a lot of people, and it shows a lot about Hollywood that things haven't changed in 25 years in terms of the balance of power. And, you know, they all predicted, because that movie was so made such a profit, that there would be tons more movies that would be starring women. And until recently, with all the rise of all these fabulous women comics that are writing, the Melissa McCarthy's of the world and the Amy Poehler's and Amy Schumer's, you really haven't seen a change in Hollywood, except I think in that area, which is great. And Rose Byrne has been part of that. You're fabulous.
I was going to ask about Rose. Just a quick mention of how fabulous she really is.
Oh my God, she's just in the Meddler. She's just the best. That part could have gone wrong in so many ways, and we had such a blast. Luckily, I knew her beforehand, so it was really a celebration for her to work with her in it. And I love the chemistry that we have in the movie, and I'm so grateful every day. I mean, that's a love story right there.
Susan, I'm going to ask something. It's a little bit cheeky, but I've come to the conclusion that it's really hard to believe most of what you read in the magazines and what's published these days, if you follow me with this thought. So I actually just read in the last day that you've been quoted as saying that sex keeps you looking youthful. Did you actually say that? And how comfortable are you in your skin?
I probably did say that. I don't accredit everything to sex, but I think being happy and good sex certainly contributes to that, does make you beautiful, because I don't think it's all about preserving, because then people kind of look like some kind of fear projected. I think it's about saying yes to life, and certainly that's part of a very big part of life, but I think that when you look at the women as they age, the Silvana Manganos and the Jenna Rowlands and I'm trying to think of who else, Sophia Loren, what you get is a feeling that they were saying yes to life. That's what they all have in common. And so, I mean, if sex is part of that, if you're lucky enough to be able to say that, then definitely that's part of it.
Fantastic. Oh, thank you for answering that question. I am going to have to wrap up in a second, but just ultimately, you have done a lot for the community at large, for your local community. I know that you're very passionate about a lot of causes, so we can't canvass those at this point, but what would be your greatest sort of priority at the moment, your passion, that a message to the world?
I think we have to reframe this refugee amazing situation where so much of the world is destabilized and so many people are without homes. And remember that it's a moral issue and not a political one. I just came back from Berlin, where I visited, the refugee camps there. I had been in Greece in Lesbos before then, and I brought ping pong tables, because that's part of my life, to the camps that are in Berlin. And there's just, if you value your home and connection with your family, and then you see what's happened to these people through no fault of their own, it's just heartbreaking. And I think that Greece needs help. Germany can't be the only country that's taking in so many of these people. And we have to join forces to really look at what's going on and to be more sympathetic and more giving towards the people that are suffering from war all over the place.